Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Lunchgate, a show dedicated to social wellness, where we encourage taking an active part in improving relationships by discussing healthy communication, setting boundaries, the importance of positive social interaction, and so much more as it relates to relationships, friendships, and those things closest to our hearts. So let me be your Tuesday afternoon lunch date.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lunch Date with Sharia Farmer. I'm your host. I'm looking forward to us being live today, which is a little bit different than we've been over the last few weeks, I think. It's good to be live, but it's also good to record because it does allow for me to do a little bit more during my weekdays. And now that I'm getting busy, we kind of talked about the fact that most of the shows would actually not be live. But since we are live today, I would love for you guys to be interactive and feel free to give us a call here at the station. The call-in number is 347-850-1154. And I would love to have any feedback or any conversations with you regarding today's topics and today's subjects that we're going to talk about. As you know, we are here to talk about social wellness and the importance of making sure that social wellness is a priority in all of your life, and that we are putting an effort towards taking care of our relationships. And by doing so, we're going to first take care of ourselves and then ultimately take care of those within the relationships that we're a part of. So today's topic is going to be a little interesting because recently about two or three of my clients, we have gone towards moving into their social wellness. When we work, I work based off of a wellness wheel that talks about spiritual, physical, emotional, intellectual, and social wellness. And what we do is we actually do activities surrounding each of those elements and making sure that we're balanced in all those elements to make our healthiest self. And so regardless of the work that I'm doing with a client, I try to incorporate all levels of wellness so that way they can have a complete life when they do finally go out on their own without or leave therapy. And the important part of social wellness is about relationships and healthy relationships and setting boundaries. And one of the areas that we're going to talk about today is making friends as an adult and the difficulty that a lot of us have if we don't have existing friends and or we move to new areas or start a new stage of life and need to change our relationships. So I want to talk about that a little bit today for our main topic. However, the other two areas or segments we will still be doing, which is a communication tip. I'm actually going to talk about a communication tip in our workplace, which is something different than our normal communication tips. And then also I'm going to talk about a relationship with me and talk about some self-care and just taking care of yourself in a way that is about being healthy and being clear that you are nurturing who you are in order to be a better self in any relationship that you have. So that's what we're going to do today in terms of the entire show. I hope that makes sense. Again, we are live. Feel free to hashtag RS lunch date and specifically on Twitter because that's where I usually will check first. And we'll see if there's any interaction or questions that you guys have so we can move forward. If not, so what's today's tip when it comes to communication is going to be specific to work. And I wanted to talk about communication preferences and the preferences within our workplace and the importance of respect to communicate versus us demanding that a person communicate the same way that we do, because not everyone appreciate or like the same styles of communication. And there's no right or wrong, but being able to find that boundary or that respect and what a person needs are as it relates to communication becomes extremely important in the workplace. So for me, I am currently not working. Well, I do have contractors, and I also have an interview today with someone. But mostly I'm a person who prefers to either talk and or text. I'm not the biggest fan of emails. However, I will respond by email, but I prefer to have a conversation. And a lot of times with the people that I work with, because we're not in the office at the same time or we may not be together at the same time, a lot of our communication takes place either on Skype or in some other Google Hangout where we can actually talk and I can actually see the person, because I'm also a person who appreciates the face-to-face time with a person even if I can't physically be with them. So for me, that's a preference. However, not everyone likes to communicate the same way. Email works for some, but others rather pick up a phone, talk to you, text you. Some even prefer social media or instant messaging. Instant messaging is another option that I actually don't have a problem with myself as well. But the key point is that we have to find a balance and a respect for what the person needs are in terms of their communication and their preference. And once you know what that preference is, try to make a balance, because you as well may not like some of or may not prefer what they are requiring of you, and trying to balance it becomes extremely important. So I would tell people that I don't really like voicemails or people leaving me voicemails. However, because of the setting that I work in, I still respond to my voicemails. I still answer them, because I understand that not everyone is going to be open to emailing and or text, when in reality a voicemail might be more appropriate because they prefer conversation or a conversation with you versus versus text or email. So just remember that you are required in workplace to kind of balance between what your needs are and the needs of the people that you're communicating with, and the importance of making sure you find out what the preference is for that person, as well as letting them know what your preference is and balancing it between the two. Just make sure that whatever you do, and I guess what I should do is also talk about how you communicate professionally. But for right now, I just would prefer we just look at a communication tip that talks about preferences. Find out who you work with, what format they like to communicate in, and do your best to balance between what your needs are and what their needs are. All right. So that's our communication tip, and this happens to be just a workplace communication tip. So remember again, in order to be interactive, you can give me a call. You can call at 347-850-1154, or you can do a hashtag with RS Lunch Date. And if you think anything that I say today, or if you agree or disagree and you want to make a statement, or you want to talk about the subject of making friends as an adult, feel free to call in, hashtag, and I will make sure to bring you into the conversation and or ask your question so that the audience can also hear the question. So let's talk about a relationship with me. So the important part of this segment is not so much about just having a relationship with yourself, but it's actually about making sure that you are taking care of yourself, loving yourself, and or having different outlets to make sure that you are caring for yourself in a way that shows that you're starting to take care of you or love yourself more. So recently, I talked about self-care briefly, and I'm so glad that everyone either liked the video and or shared the video, because it is important for us to look at self-care and the priority of caring for ourselves by acknowledging that we can't do everything. So today's specific tip for self-care and for loving yourself is going to be surrounding making a priority list and sticking to it. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit without visual. It's kind of difficult to explain what I'm going to talk about, but I want to try my best to do it. I want to talk about how I plan for my week. And what I mean by that is I want to talk about being organized and determining the priorities of what I have to do and not making everything the same level of priority. So each week on Sunday evening, I try my best to create a list of what I need to complete for the entire week. And when I say the entire week, I mean every single thing that I can think of on that list, I try to create in order to make sure I can get it all out. And then I look back at the previous week's list in terms of what I didn't complete, and I add those things on. Once I complete the list of all the things that need to get done for the week, then I prioritize them in by alphabet. So I would say A, B, no more than D. And what I would mean by that is I would actually group the priorities that I think need to be done immediately as A. So you might have 1 to 4 different things on your list that are priorities. Each of them will get the letter A. And then you might have some things that are a priority but not as required to get in the earlier part of the week completed. They might be listed as B, and then so on or so forth. So you might go on. I don't go past the letter D because I try to make sure that when I'm prioritizing, I'm not extending myself to the point where I can't complete it. So after I organize them by priority with alphabet, then I look at the A's, the B's, and the C's, and then I will put them in priority by the group in which they fall. So, for example, if they're an A and something is the most important thing to get complete, it becomes A1. Then if the second thing will become A2, and then if there's 4 things, you go down to 4. So it'll be A1, A2, and A3 and 4. Once that's complete, I do the same thing for the other alphabet that I'm doing. And when you look at your list, you might have 4 different alphabets that you have, but now you have an order in which each thing is done in for each category. So what I do then, is actually put them into my calendar according to the alphabet and the number in terms of order of priority. So, for example, A1 would normally go, for me, specifically at 9 o'clock on Monday morning because I may not see clients that day until 4. But what I'll do is I'll have all of my A's fall on that day of activities so that I can get them complete before my day starts with my clients. So I hope that that makes sense. It's hard to visualize without me, or it may be difficult to visualize without seeing it. But basically what I'm doing is prioritizing my list and then adding it to my schedule so that everything that I put on my to-do list gets into my schedule, but it's also within a time frame that respects me still taking breaks, that respects me still seeing my clients, and also being completed in my day by a certain point. And anything that does not fit onto my week, it moves to the following week, because if it's not a priority, I can't add things on to each day just to be able to fill up my day or to get everything complete and expect to be balanced. So the purpose of prioritizing is, even if you don't do it the same way I just described, the purpose of prioritizing is to be able to put the things into your list, into your schedule, and then moving from putting the things into your schedule into clearly knowing how much time you have to do other things. So I'm also within my list including things like taking walks, right? So a priority for me is exercising. So at least 30 minutes a day is what I'm up to now. And so no matter, even if it's for at least for every single day, I need to do 30 minutes of movement, take a walk, stand up and move around while I'm working, doing different things, and being able to physically move is a priority to me. And so that goes onto my schedule every single day, and then I put it in at a time that says that this is my break, but it's also my exercise. And so what prioritizing does, it allows you to see the importance of everything in your life, not just the things that have to get done. And when I do my schedule, I try to make sure that the fun things are equally as important as the things that are work-based, business-based, family-based. The fun things that I do need to be within that list just the same as some of the not-so-fun things. And so when we think about taking care of ourselves, when we think about loving ourselves, we have to make sure that we include ourselves in our own schedule. And that seems silly, but it's actually a way to start to see that each day you should be taking care of yourself, even if it's for 5 to 10 minutes. So some of my single mothers or my single parents that I may work with are constantly saying they don't have the time. However, finding the time to even do something that says, I need to step away from my kids, going into the bathroom, listening to music, getting in the car 5 minutes earlier so that way you can just relax, take deep breaths, and enjoy yourself before all the noise or the chaos. Or keeping your room door closed so that your children can't just run in until a certain time, so that way when you get up, you give yourself at least 10 minutes to yourself before the day starts. Some of this seems like, well, no, they're not going to let me. Part of teaching our children to take care of themselves is us modeling that behavior. And if you are expecting them to take care of themselves, you need to do the same. So remember, prioritize, add yourself to your schedule, and learn to take care of yourself in a way that's honest to your full self and not just part of you. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then when I come back, we're going to actually go into our main topic.
Today's wellness moment. Today's wellness moment is something that I just absolutely love, which is music. Anyone who knows me knows that I love to listen to music. I love to sit and actually listen to vinyl sometimes, and it's just a different level of listening to music. But when it comes down to it, the reality is that when you want peaceful times and you want peaceful moments, you have to be very mindful of the things that you're listening to. So for me, when I'm feeling down, I'm feeling out, I try to make sure that I listen to music that is calming and or music that is actually uplifting. So I use music that actually reflects the mood that I want to be in. So be very mindful and careful that you take care of your emotional health by making sure that the things that you're listening to and exposing yourself to can help you to get a positive as well as an internal view on how to be well. So for me, when I'm down and out, like I said, I listen to some inspirational or some very uplifting music. But other times when I just want to be calm, I actually listen to things that might be similar to the waves or ocean, or wait, the waves in the ocean, where it might actually calm me. So something that's jazz and cool and calm can actually internalize inside me and bring me to a good place. So remember, say yes to some good music when you want to feel better and take care of yourself. All right, everyone be well.
Welcome back to the Lunch Date. Remember, you can be interactive with me online with the hashtag RSLunchDate. I'm checking Twitter throughout the conversation. If you hear something, it sparks an interest, it makes you think that you want to add something to it, feel free to either hashtag it and or you can call in because we're live today, which is 347-850-1154 for anyone who would like to call in. And what I want to talk about today is something that I think as adults we struggle with because we don't realize that it's not the same as when we were younger, which is making friends. Because when we were younger, it was so easy to just make friends. You could be at the park, you could be in school, you could have something in common like a basketball team or a softball team. You had things that would pull you together naturally. Even just school itself, being in high school and being around people, it might be difficult to make the perfect friends, but when you're younger, you're able to make friends because of the settings that you're constantly in together. What happens when you become adults is that we get kind of isolated to our everyday lives, and being isolated to our everyday lives, we don't always get to meet new people, interact with new people, try to connect with people in a way that can genuinely grow into something more. And so although when we were younger, some of our relationships were dramatic or chaotic in terms of just growing up and being adolescents or growing up and being in high school or middle school, there still was that access to people that allowed you to have relationships that you just don't get to have naturally once you become an adult. and or an older adult. And so what I felt was when the last few weeks, like I said, with some of my clients, we've been working on how to make friends and things to do that could introduce new people into your life now that you're an adult. And so I have a few people who work from home, and although it's always awesome to work from home and there's this feeling that most of us would prefer to do it, it actually could be extremely isolating, and it doesn't allow for you to have that workplace relationships that most adults, when you work from home, it's really you, a computer, and a lot of instant messaging and things like that. But what happens when you want something more? And so what I want to talk about today is ways for us as adults to meet new people as well as to try to form new relationships that are about friendship and not so much just about networking. So this is not a networking tool. This is not a tips on networking, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about that and or we can talk about it another time. This is really about trying to formulate relationships and find people in your life as an adult that you can connect with that have similarities or things that you're interested in. And so some of the things that I talked about with my clients recently were the reality that now, because of social media, we have a world that we can be more involved with each other by communicating through social media, increasing our friend list, going to meetups, meetups that are specific to what you're involved in or like to do. So, for example, if you're a vegetarian, you go to a meetup with liberal vegetarians who live in your area. Or if you're a person who's into a certain television show or a certain game or gaming activities, then you could actually do meetups specifically to that area. And what this does is it gives you a chance to meet strangers that have similar interests to yours. So for me, one of the areas or one of the places that I meet people are in my Zumba class, at the gym, places that are we have a similar thing that we're involved in. And the reality is that some of those same relationships stay in the setting that you meet, but then others actually start to come out and you start to do things together. So I have a Zumba friend, quote unquote, who was my friend in Zumba, and then afterwards we started to do things like walk together, take lunch together, and even after I left the gym, we still text with each other. And also, recently because of my schedule, we haven't been able to find the time to go out, but we will go out because we now have a friendship that's outside of Zumba. So using the areas that you enjoy to meet up with new people and interact with them. And so one of my clients is a little shy. So she has a struggle with going up to people, talking to people, and feeling like people are not interested in talking to her. And so one of the things that I mentioned was usually we need to make eye contact with people. We need to laugh, be warming and warm so that people can see that you're there to interact. The other thing is you can't be off to yourself. If you're coming alone, you go over to the group, speak to people, introduce yourself. You will find that two are there to probably find or meet new people. And as long as you're open, most people will be willing to try to form a relationship, even if it's just in the meetup setting. So what I encouraged her to do was to find someone in the room that she felt was comforting, looked like they were open, and go over and introduce yourself and or go over to a crowd and stand near them. And then when you notice who is the most open, you can actually speak to them at a different point. So being able to be flexible and not worry about, oh, are they going to like me or not, just getting to know them is the starting point. So this is challenging for some of us because we have our own hang-ups with how people see us, what people think about us. And when that is the case, it's harder for you to just go up to people and talk to people. However, that becomes something that you may need to work on or work with someone on to make sure that you get the tools it takes to be a little more assertive and a little bit more forward to introduce yourself to people. Another good technique is going to things like night school, taking a class. So I always, recently, one of my colleagues is going back to school, and for I don't know how long she has struggled with dating, and now that she's actually in school, we're on several dates since she started school. And I told her, I said, really, it wasn't so much that you struggled with dating or finding people to date. It was that you didn't have an area or a space that was safe enough for you to feel comfortable to date someone. And so now there's a likelihood that if she continues to date, she may find someone she falls in love with and stay with. And based off of just going to school and having something that you both are chasing. So you're chasing the degree, you're looking to go into the same profession or a similar profession. So for her, she's in an MBA program, master's in business program. And really what she's finding is that although she's been in her profession for so long, she hasn't known that there were so many males who had similar experiences as her and that she could relate to, because her experience in undergrad wasn't the same. And so we talked about being able to see that just like she's grown, most of the men that she might have been exposed to may have grown as well. So be able to be open to going back to school, take a night class. It doesn't even have to be a degree-based class. It could be things like learning how to garden or pottery or even those painting with a twist classes that people are doing now. The reality is that, you know, you definitely don't want to go to one of the couple ones, because then you might be the third wheel or you may be out or not feel like it's comfortable. But making sure that you are introducing yourself into settings where you may meet people who have similar things than you do. And so that's my example would be the Zumba class in terms of taking a class. The other area is volunteer. Volunteering is an awesome way to help others, but it also gets you to meet people who also care and who are kind and who want to contribute to the world. So being able to volunteer according to what you believe in or care about will give you a chance to meet people who also feel very similar. Now, if you volunteer for something that's mandatory, a requirement for, probation, then yes, those people aren't really there to volunteer. They're there because they were made to do this service. Make sure you volunteer and recognize who's there. If they're there because they want to be or because they're made to be, will indicate if you guys really have the same things in common. The other thing for one of my clients, she recently had twins. And so I told her that although it may be very difficult because she's out of the workforce now, she's a full-time mother, and although it may be very difficult to hear this, your children now have put you in a position to introduce you to a new set of women, because now you can be friends or find friends with a commonality of children, and you can do things like go to Boca Moms here in Philadelphia. I know they had what is the other group called? They have different groups that are specific to being a mother that allows you now to meet new people and then form new relationships. And the same thing with pets. So you can do like the dog groups, the little walking your dog groups, or have a dog park, and someone who's really into animals might even volunteer at like a shelter to be able to interact with people who also have those same beliefs as they do. So being able to utilize your role, like so your role as a mother, your role as a pet mom, as you get that role, you introduce yourself to other people who share that same role as you do. And I know that sounds like, oh, I'm using my kids, but it's not really. It's actually an opportunity for you to interact with like-minded people who share the same role as you. So you may not like everyone, but you might have an opportunity to meet some new people. The other thing is talk to your current friends or friends who may be from different areas than you. And if you move to a new area, find out who in the area has friends where you're, like, find out who you're friends with that may live in your area and or have an extension to one of your Facebook friends or your social media friends. And I say this because you would be surprised how many people we have in common if we just talk to each other. And I know this because there's the concept of 6 degrees of separation is pretty true in a sense that you do have people that are connected to you based off of who you're connected to. And so maybe there can be an introduction of friends or circles that you could have just based off of asking or talking to your current friends and seeing who has friends. This is going to sound silly, but the last one is really as simple as leaving the house. Leaving the house to do things like go to the park, leaving the house to do things like the grocery store, going out, going to parties. So birthday parties, any kind of special events for businesses, places that you would really patronize and want and have people who would have that in common. So if they're opening up a new spa, and you want to go there because you also want the massage, but you also might meet other women who are into the same thing. If I go to a birthday party and it's a birthday party for an adult, then most likely there's going to be other adults there who may be in the area and or have the same relationship with the person, and then you can be connected through them in that way. Trying to think of some other examples of going out. Church. Church, the grocery store, parks, concerts. Some of the greatest people I've ever met have been at concerts, and now I have friendships that will be forever in some cases, and I don't know if I would have met them had not gone to a concert, and we have a shared enjoyment of this specific type of music. So being able to being able to go out and meet new people according to your interests becomes extremely important. And some of us right now are saying, well, I don't know what my interests are. I don't have any interests. Therein lies the beginning of your search for new relationships, is to first figure out what you like to do, who you would like to meet, and then go out there and put yourself in the position to meet them. And the reality is that us, even as adults, we need relationships, and although we have our relationships that might be things like marriage or spouses or partners, and those are one type of relationship, but you need your friends. You need to have people who share something in common with you that you can do things with in a way that doesn't make you isolated or make you feel isolated from the rest of the world. It becomes extremely important for us to be honest in this area and to then be willing to take the risk to push ourselves to meet new people, to do new things, and to just be our best self as we begin to do that. So remember, if you don't remember anything else, get out, volunteer, take a class, meet new people that have similar interests in you, and try to make some friends, because life is too short to be totally alone, and there's so many people in the world longing for relationships and love. And the good thing is that there's so many different types of love and ways to offer friendship and offer more than just intimacy or intimate relationships. And I think that the coolest thing about the world we live in is that we actually do get the opportunity to have different types of relationships that increase our ability to be good people and support each other. So take a risk. If you are not naturally a person who goes out, get out there, make some friends, and just try your best to do what it takes to meet new people. All right, so today we talked a little bit about a few things. We talked about prioritizing our list and taking care of ourselves by making sure that we schedule ourselves within our list, and that's for our relationship with me. We talk about a communication tip specific to the workplace and making sure we understand the importance of people's preference and how they prefer to communicate. And what that means is if a person likes to email, you email them. If you prefer a conversation or a face-to-face conversation, you occasionally take the email and say, I'm coming around there so we can talk. So that way that both parties' needs are being met, but you're also respecting the person that you are working with needs. Next week, you guys, I am not going to be live. I've already taped the show. I'm excited. I'm going to NCORE, which is National Conference of Race and Ethnicity, where I'll get the opportunity to talk on a subject that's dear to my heart, which is Black Girl Blues, which is depression in the Black college female. And I'm excited because I feel like I've gotten so much information, but I also have some techniques and tools that I really think will benefit other professionals who are working with Black women and really looking to improve their techniques as well as support those women that I love and continue to love and want the best for. Again, the membership page is still up and going. I'm looking for some new members, people. Again, it's called RS Women Enrichment Community. It's a community built to empower, enrich, and educate women. Some of the major benefits, and I could go on and on, are that you get tons of videos, activities, audio, trainings. And the one thing that I will say is that for the cost of a 50-minute individual coaching session, you actually will get this entire program. And if it's for a year, you'll have your own individual coach who you would work with based off of that 50 minutes. You'll have a monthly group coaching with myself and the rest of the women in the group. You'll have a weekly community group activity, which is interactive. It has videos as well as activities that you can do during the week. I just feel like this membership program is awesome for the amount of things that you get for the price that it actually is. And for those who haven't gotten a chance to visit the page, which is rsdevelopment.org, take a look at it. Right now, there is the regular membership is $97 and the student membership is $47. So if you're a student, this opportunity, I would not pass it by because it really gives you a chance to work with a coach. And then after working with a coach to show you how to navigate the page, you can actually make sure that this page helps you get through those 4 years, 2 years, or a year, depending on what you have left. So get excited. I am extremely excited. I know that we are going to grow. I'm going to NCORE, and while I'm there, I'm going to push for every single woman that I meet to join the group so that we can grow and support each other. Again, you can find it at rsdevelopment.org. It's called RS Enrichment Community. I am in the process of trying to award at least 10 women the membership. So once I've reached a certain number of member, I will be matching those members with for women who may not be able to afford and or specifically who are single women within and or domestic violence survivors. So again, check out the page. I have the information already in the write-up for this radio show. So it has the Women Enrichment Community address. Go check it out. See if you're interested. If not, fellas, you can also forward it to the women in your life, purchase them a membership. Just get on board. It's actually something that I'm extremely excited about, and I know it's going to grow because God gave it to me, and I just trust that much that it will grow. Again, I hope everyone has an extremely great week. Enjoy. We will not be live next week, but that doesn't mean that you can't listen to a great show with a great topic. Remember, self-love always, always, always is the foundation of any healthy interaction. So be well tuned.